Big Bang.
It is what it is, man.
DJ Scream.
You don't be on nothing, I be on.
Baby Jade.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this then.
Bring you big facts.
Bad ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Live for First Class Sounds, it's DJ Scream, Big Bang, Baby Jade. It's time for Big Facts. We got a special guest up in the building the name of Sammy. Sammy, don't pull up the Big Shalom. Facts.
What's poppin'?
What's up, man?
Man, thanks for having me. How y'all?
Man, we appreciate you pulling up. You've been in this game. You've been doing this shit for a long time. Give us clarity on how long you've been doing
this. Professionally known as Sammy, I'm 35 now. Got my first deal when I was 12. Came out when I was 12. So 23 years.
Yeah,
man.
Does it feel like it's been
Yeah,
because
I came in the game when it was DAT tapes, CDs, Walkmans, Zooms, cassette tapes. You know what I'm saying? I got a plaque with a cassette tape on my wall. So to be in the streaming world, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen the evolution of music. I've seen how it went from the importance of radio and being visible on television to now owning the internet. You know, so I've been able to just see the changes. So it does feel like two decades in.
What you think the key is, like, to having people still care about Sammy? You on a tour
Oh,
now,
man, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, a lot of child stars, they don't get the cross over into being even taken seriously as a teenage heartthrob, as they call this, let alone a grown man. You know what I'm saying? So for my transition to be as seamless as it's been is truly a blessing. And I think that I never knew the significance that I had to my era until last year being on the Millennium Tour. You know, I didn't even know I wanted my flowers or cared about my flowers. You know what I'm saying? But when you got 15, 20,000 people screaming your name and singing your records that reminds them of a time when they were like in 7th, 8th grade or in high school or college, that's the most refreshing, humble feeling that I've had in a long time. So I'm super, super grateful to still be doing it. And I still love it. That's the cool part. Like, I'm not tired of it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, although I'm 23 years in, I'm just getting started at the same time.
Now, of course, you got your first original, like, your first official look from doing a Stevie Wonder rendition of My Sherry Amore
on the Apollo.
Showtime at the Apollo. How was that for you?
Man, I was nervous. So I was raised in Miami for 6 years, and I was
Did
in
you
this
rub
group.
The thing?
Yeah, rubbed the log and took a deep breath and all that. I was scared because prior to that, we auditioned as a group. I was in a group with this guy named Terrell and Phillip.
Okay.
And when we sent the audition tape in, they called back and they was like, well, we want the youngest one. And that was me. I was 10 at the time. So it was my first time ever performing, by myself. 1998 was the first time I stepped on a big stage like that. And Steve Harvey was the host at the time. And I went out there. My mom said if I could conquer New York, though, I could take over the world. And when she said that, it kind of stuck with me when I went out there.
Okay.
And did my thing. Standing ovation. Then that led to Dallas Austin and Joyce Irby discovering me.
Okay.
And kind of, you know, building my career from there.
Did you immediately sign to Rowdy after that, or was there like a period of time before you actually signed to Rowdy?
Nah, so I was actually signed to Capitol Records and Free World Entertainment, which is still Dallas Austin's umbrella.
Okay.
The first time. And we dropped I Like It, Crazy Things I Do for Love, Hardball, From the Bottom to the Top, my first LP.
Hardball was from the movie, right?
Yeah, okay. with Bow Wow, Lil Wayne, Lil Zane, Jermaine Dupri.
Okay.
And then success came so fast, man. One thing about me, I always had an old soul, right? So I felt myself at 12, 13, 14 losing myself already, you know what I mean? And I don't care how much money you have, how much fame you have, you can't get time back.
Right,
so
right.
I wanted to have a sense of normalcy, and I stepped away from music for 4 years to go to high school.
So and that how did that work out when you were actually going to high school? Was it kind of like a surreal experience being a celebrity? And then how was it re-entering the music world afterwards?
High school was bittersweet, right? Because kids couldn't understand why I'm sitting in geometry class with them and they can go home and watch me on 106 and Park. And when you 13, 14, 15, they think you're supposed to be flying in helicopters to school and
that.
And I was getting dropped off by my moms. You dig? Like I was just trying to be a regular guy going to school to get my education. But I used to have security help me get to class. Niggas ain't like me because the girls like me. So I was always on like edge. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like niggas to this day because of that. I got way more female associates.
Because
they never gave me a chance, though. It's not like I was, you know, big headed or nothing. It's just I was Sammy. So
it was their own personal insecurity.
To public school.
Public school
is treacherous.
Yeah, so you know, it didn't get nice for me until like my junior year. Finally, the guys that used to try to talk crazy my freshman year was like, "Oh, he's not so bad," because I wasn't tripping. Like, I really just wanted to
Learn,
you know, get my education.
And get that experience. Yeah, being
and
regular.
Just, and just not lose my childhood. You know, a lot of childhood stars that never got the experience that I have, when they not as hot as they used to be, they don't know the significance of self outside of music and fame.
Facts. Mm.
See, me, facts. I could lose it all because I already lost it all. Mm. I already had it taken all away. You know what I'm saying? And I earned my stripes and got it back tenfold. So there's nothing you could tell me. Like, I'm self-made. I'm God-made. And even if today the world stops streaming Sammy's music, I'm still godly. I'm still handsome. I'm still fly. I'm still
articulate.
You're
still going to be grateful.
Yeah, I'm still going to find something else to pivot into and be successful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, God just really made me different. So it was beautiful, though. I was homecoming king. I played basketball 2 years.
Okay.
I got to do some of the normal stuff. It was more so just understanding that when you have fame, people put this stigma on you off the dribble where they don't give you a chance to really show your character and the true essence of self.
Yeah, that's right. Facts.
You know what I mean?
That's facts.
So, you know.
They prejudge.
Off the dribble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Particularly the male species.
What you think that is? You think that's insecurity?
Oh, for sure. I mean, but I get it. But, you know, I tell people to this day, man, I either intimidate or inspire.
Right.
With men, it's two things we fight about, right? Not me, but if you a sucker.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you're a sucker, man, like you fight over a woman or you jealous because the dude got some money. So I always did well for myself. Those are the only two things guys envy
really
about.
Bitches
and
envy.
That's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's childish. You know what I'm saying? That's not king-like. So for me, I stay in my lane. I got my circle from high school. Like, the only guys I really rock with is the guys I went to high school with. Because they were solid when I wasn't on TV at that time.
Right, right.
So we 20 years in on friendship and brotherhood.
How you maintain that?
Man, you know, it's just effort. We in the group chat. Some of them married. Some of them got kids. But when I fly back to Orlando, you know, we fellowship. Or we'll take a guy's trip to Vegas and have a good time. Yeah, yeah. It's all about putting the effort in, you know. The greatest thing you can give to somebody is time.
Facts.
So if it's significant to you, important to you, you'll make the time.
What you think the difference in contract back then when you first signed and now? Like,
well, you know, mine is beautiful. You know how everybody's crying to be independent now? You know what I'm saying? Because of the internet and freedom as an artist that we have, if you want to really take control of your career. I've been independent since 2009. I signed myself to Star Camp Music, which is my entity, the camp. I signed myself to myself by choice. I had to learn quickly how to write my songs top to bottom and sequence my music and invest in my artwork, right? And that was because my ex-manager at the time took everything away from me, so I had to start over. I didn't have no deal.
Took it how?
Easy. When you talk about manipulation and just being young, I moved here when I was 18, right? And I got a little deal for 50 here, and I got another deal for like another 50,000. So I got $100,000. That's a lot of money at the time for an 18-year-old kid, fresh out of high school. It's a guy I knew like he was like a brother to me. So when you say brother, when you say family, the last person I think that's gonna snake me is my brother. So really, it wasn't no paperwork, by the way. It was just he helped me get my bands. He was the co-signer on my whip, right? He was the primary account holder on my American Express. He helped me open up my accounts at Wells Fargo. I didn't look at that as red flags at 18, but then when I started like asking him questions about the business and he wasn't really keeping it solid, I started thinking about the access he had to my personal life. So when I fired him, of course, the first thing he could do is falsely make a police report on my whip and say I stole it, because his name's on it too. He could turn off my turn off my American Express card. His name's on it too. He's the primary. Oh, he can liquidate my account because his name's on it. I went through that from the month of March to May of 2009. I'm on Kiss Me Through the Phone at the time. So I'll be doing like Jay Leno, Jimmy Kimmel Live and all that shit. Eating ramen noodles at the crib. Damn. Trying to figure out how to survive carless for three years.
Wow.
Like, a lot of people didn't know at the time because I would struggle well. You feel me? I never let you see me sweat, but was really depressed, suffering from insomnia. Drowning in liquor and women to kind of cope, you know what I'm saying, with that. And that shit took like 7 years to get out of, to be honest with you. Like, when I say out of it, go viral on Shade Room for the first time in 2016. And that led to a deal, to another deal, to another deal, to I've been on 5 worldwide tours in the last 6 years. Like, everything different now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm back. But
I'm back.
Owning my masters. I never did a pub deal. Every check, every advance comes straight to me, and then I pay the team. My lawyer don't see shit until I pay her. My accountant don't see shit until I pay her. Yeah. My manager don't see shit until I pay him. Everything come to me. You know what I'm saying? And when you are an artist, you don't really want to do all that, right? You just want to bask in your creativity. But doing that and trusting somebody got me
when
fucked.
When you've been burnt,
So it's like, nah, I'm the boss and I'm the leader. Yeah. So I had to learn the business. I had to be this way.
Are you kind of glad you went through everything you went through?
Beautiful. I wouldn't change it. 7 years sound like a long time. That's 2,555 days, by the way, of suffering. But shit, like, easy now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm having fun again. And I'm not doing anything but being myself.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, that's it. And I'm can't no label stop me. I ain't
freedom.
I'm free. And that's when you rich. Mm. Rich is not currency.
Rich is in spirit.
Rich is in spirit. Rich is in freedom, liberation, and doing what you love to do. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Today, after this, I get to do whatever I want to do today. If I want to just fly somewhere, I could skate. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
My mom's straight if she need me. My daddy straight if he need me. Like, that's what I do it for. It's never about me. Like, so I'm in a different space now, man, where I'm super grateful for all the struggles, because through pain births beauty. You just got to look at it that way and get through it.
Yeah.
Right. They said they need Elsa's. About what? When I get big
fat. Big fat, big fat. Would you say you make real R&B?
Yeah, for sure.
What per your definition, what is real R&B?
Man, it's I was just talking to somebody about this the other day. I was in Houston for Tycoon with 50, right? And I was with Jazz Prince in the studio. I was playing some stuff for my album and RSVP. And music is a feeling, not a thought. I'm a church boy. Like, you have to really, really speak to the souls of women to be in the game this long. I know that because I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? You got to be transparent. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be masculine enough to say things that we talk about each other probably in the barbershop or at the bar, but we never want to tell our girl that, because we feel like we weak if we express that. Mm-hmm. Nah, I'm emotional. I'm a Pisces. I'm sensitive. I'm not afraid to say those things that are deemed weak, but a woman really appreciates it. Mm. So I think as long as you're being honest and transparent, less auto-tune, more of your voice, that's right. Real R&B. You know why the feeling of R&B is gone? It's not just hip-hop. It's that rappers are able to sing, quote-unquote.
That's what I was about to ask you.
Yeah.
That's what killed R&B.
We were just debating about that. Yeah.
Everybody trying to act like it's like this big, big mystery. Nah.
Because I definitely feel like I can sing. Shit, who don't?
You know what I'm saying?
With the auto-tune, man, it don't sound good.
Make everybody sing.
Yeah, so you throw the auto-tune in, it takes the feeling out of music.
But why on the flip do you think is, and we were debating before you came in, like, why do you think that R&B artists are becoming more like rappers? Like, they singing about street
shit. That's also easy. Because it depends on what you want. So me, I haven't been on the radio, y'all, a radio record, Sammy, since Kiss Me Through the Phone. That's 2009, 2010. It's 12 years ago. Mm. But I got over 200 some odd million streams in the last 6 years since I've entered the streaming world, right? Mm. So Sammy doesn't care about Billboard. Mm. I already got a number one. I already wrote one for Tank. I already got a top three. Yeah. Sammy don't care about platinum and being gold. The music's free. You pay $9.99 every month to some digital streaming platform, right? And you get everybody's catalog. Why are we talking about first week numbers still? The music's free. If you got $10, you get everybody's shit, not just Sammy's shit.
Right, right.
So I'm not on the dumb shit. I'm not on the chasing the numbers. I've already done all that.
So let me ask you this, because this is another discussion that we were having before you came. Because my point of view is, when you talk about niggas like the Chris Browns and the Trey Songz, you know, those type of niggas, that really come from, like, the places that are really about that life.
Right.
You can't really call them an R&B nigga that's trying to act like a rapper, because they really are about that shit, and that's what they come from. So it's like they're really just
being themselves
about their real life. You see what I'm saying?
That ain't what you said, Jay. You said, I like all my R&B niggas to talk about that shit.
No, but what I'm not. Yeah, I did. I definitely said that. But what I'm saying is, You can't call Chris Brown or Trey Songz singer nigga trying to act like a rap nigga when they really come from
the streets.
Yeah,
we didn't do that. Not for Chris and Trey. We saying for everybody else. Every R&B nigga that ain't even known is singing about some
shit. I think them niggas trying to act like, I wouldn't hear on y'all conversations. I don't think them niggas trying to act like rappers.
They not, because that's what they come from.
No, they
that's
being themselves. No, Chris can go sing to women or slide on some street shit. We get that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying now, you hear more R&B that's geared towards street shit than you hear the shit that he's talking about.
Because, again, that's what I was saying. If you care about Billboard, if you care about being on top 10 on radio, right, then you have to create the same music
that
Future is doing and Thug and Gunna, like, yeah, you still now that's it's a mind fuck though.
It's
again,
pop, yeah, because what it is hip hop done turned pop.
It bled over,
right?
Yeah, so right. Once hip hop turned popular, exactly, music overrules everything. Whatever's popular is what it is,
and hip hop is the number one genre in the
that's
world.
That's what I'm saying. So shit, we trying to tap
get,
into yeah, that.
If you try, if you're an R&B singer, you're trying to get one slot on Hot 107.9 and 94.5 and goddamn, you know what I'm saying?
You don't have to rap and sing. You got to rap some street shit.
Yeah.
Now, if you care about that, you got to play that game. If you don't care about it, you know, then you do what I do and just cater to those
sit
who
back
really
and
want.
You get, you
yeah,
get.
Well, you, yeah, not just I'm gonna serve you real R&B. Because the thing about a trend is gone when the trend is gone, right? Mm-hmm. But real music is timeless. You know what I'm saying? So right, you can't right. say Sammy and a woman who's now 35 like me or a little older, that she know what she was when she heard I Like It. She know what she was when she heard
Kiss
Crazy Things and Kiss Me Through the Phone and Come With Me and You Should Be My Girl. Like, Hardball, they know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's nostalgia. That's everlasting, timeless music. So why would I deviate from that in my adulthood? If I know that now at 25 to 35, I can create such a catalog. That means at 60, I'm still here if I want to be grown and sexy and performing and charging whatever I want to charge for tours.
Right.
So it's just about a preference. Yeah. If you care about chasing mainstream, then you're going to sing rap and turn on the auto-tune and fit in with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? But if you want to be everlasting, then you're going to give people that's going to impact the souls. And once you get that soul, man, you got them forever.
A raw voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, and it's so many layers to it. Executive signed the bullshit now. You know, I used to go through artist development before they put me out. When they signed me in Apollo, they didn't just throw me out to the world. You know what I'm saying? They made sure I knew how to speak. I knew how to enunciate. I knew how to swerve a question that would cause some controversy if I answered incorrectly. Yeah. They made me do conditioning and sing to a Boys to Men album straight to make sure I don't get winded on. Nah, these days, if you got 300 hits on this and 2 million views on this and 5
you
million
you know the way.
Yeah. You a star.
Yeah, you know the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know the way.
You can tell us what to do.
So it's a different time. You know, it's so easy now. It's the easiest time to get a deal. It's the easiest time to have a hot summer. You have to. Everybody got an iPhone, right? That's your television.
You just got to connect.
That's
you connect, it's over.
That's
once
it.
You connect.
So the game changed, you know? But I'm all for the changes because I'm not a dinosaur. I'm not fighting the evolution. You either evolve or you evaporate. Period.
So let me ask you this. Okay. Since we're speaking on raw voices and, you know, natural flow without any enhancements and all that kind of shit, what happened at the Versus?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot happening.
What happened at the fucking Versus?
You know, for me, I'm going to be honest. You
that
know,
was
and,
he, like
and
a
all
lot.
these guys are my guys, right? You know what I'm saying?
Because y'all got a group, the RSVP.
Yeah, shout out to Ray, shout out to Pleasure, shout out to Valen. It was a lot, first of all. after Versus, though, the only two people they was talking about that could sing was myself and Mario, right? But
right.
I didn't even go there to sing. Like, I've been a crooner. I already know I could sing. So it's not even what Versus is about. Versus is, like, about competing record to record.
Exactly.
I came there personally to pop my shit. You know what I'm saying? Which I did. But the people that expose themselves truthfully, I've always known that they aren't the strongest vocally. The world just didn't know.
They knew it.
And they also have known that. But, you know, I will say this. We had the largest view, the most controversial, most talked about verses to date thus far, right? And I think there's a blessing in the chaos of it all.
Yeah,
everybody,
for sure.
Quote unquote, are saying they want real singing back and real music back. And we'll see how true that is, because if that was true, artists like Luke James, Avery Wilson, Kevin Ross, Lucky Day, who's amazingly talented on stage and off, Miguel, like these guys will be running the R&B game and not whomever. I don't even know who's running the R&B game at this point. But you understand what I'm saying? Talent has been there. It's just, that's, again, not what's force-fed on the people. But Versus was really a celebration, man. I know Ray for sure got two turnt, you know what I'm saying? Omarion, if you know Omarion, I've been following him since B2K. He's always been a dancer. He's an entertainer. He's not the strongest vocally, you know what I mean? So you put that against somebody who's top five, in my opinion, vocally, Mario.
Oh, yeah.
Omarion's going to get slaughtered.
Mario's a trope.
Mario been that though. He
what
just had to remind.
What happened on this shit? Cause I ain't see it. What happened?
He chaos. Just, like
yeah,
you said.
It was.
I didn't see it either. I just saw Ray.
I saw the highlights.
And then Ray J was super lit. Let me say that. You know what I'm saying? Like you know,
super lit, like intoxicated.
Yeah, you gotta understand, man. They had us at the venue at 4 o'clock, right? They told us to be punctual, so we trying to be professional.
Yeah.
But they put us in a room full of Casamigos and goddamn Ciroc and all kinds of De Leon, you know what I'm saying? All kinds of shit, right? It's no sound check, so we just sitting around. What you think going to happen? Going to start taking shots, start talking shit, some people smoking. It's a party. It's in L.A. And everybody had a good time, so I think Ray J just took it too far. Like, he didn't even know he was sounding like that until the next day. So, it was fun. It was chaotic. I was honored and super grateful to be a part of it. But singing was never singing, that's easy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's the other stuff. It's funny, though. If none of that stuff had have happened, it wouldn't have been the talk of the world.
Right.
They're still talking about it. You know what I'm saying?
And it never would have been an RSVP. About,
And it would never been an RSVP. And we really got some shit. You know what I'm saying? I never wanted to be in no group. You know, I've always been a soloist, you know?
So speaking of just lituations and situation, where are you at with Ray J now? Because we all seen the blogs and all
last week. Let's clear that up real quick.
Scuffle.
Yeah, no.
Please
clear
it on Big Fast.
Was it fisticuffs or like, was it just some talking shit?
No,
like,
it was nothing. It was absolutely nothing. We went to me, P, and Ray J went to Magic City, daytime shift, and then we went to Pink Pony. Mind you, if you know me, I don't be out in Atlanta. Like, anywhere, I'm in the studio, the crib.
Right.
I'm laid back. I like little hookah lounges and shit like that. I'm in a club unless I'm getting paid, type shit.
Right.
But I'm with a group, so I'm going with them. And we getting lit. I get an SUV, and I reach for the door to close the door, but there's no door where I reach. My equilibrium was off. And I simply fell out the SUV and scraped my face and broke my phone. But
where did they get a fight from?
And Ray J, we like the... I killed him on Versus, so I think he's trying to get some get back personally. You know what I'm saying? So he can't wait to catch me. Because then even in the studio when we were working on music, he's like, I bet you can't do this, Rhino. I bet you can't do this. Like, it's just a brotherly love, competitive, nature.
But he spoke on the shit like there was an altercation.
Yeah,
and, like,
because...
he didn't fight back. I don't understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. So... I go to the guest room and I pass out at P's crib. My phone's broken. So
Pleasure
the next,
P.
Yeah, Pleasure P.
Yeah.
The okay. next day I wake up, and when I got my phone fixed, everybody was like, yo, we about to pull up on Ray J and fuck him up. I got, all my people. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? You know what I'm saying? And it was like,
right.
Ray J was on live saying he fought you and you ain't fight back. I was like, here you go trolling again. We know how to run the internet, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody in this group, me, P, Ray, Bob, physically ever violently touched each other. That'll never happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, not for me. Like, I don't even play that. I'm 35 years old. I don't slap box for fun. Because if you hit me in my face too crazy, it's going down forever. Like, I don't even... I'm raised a different kind of way. I'm 35, my nigga. I'm getting money. Well, I'm
grown.
Yeah. Nah, it was no fight. He was really... We just trolling.
So y'all spoke after that?
Ray J called me this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I was with Ray J in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the whole, like, we good.
Just something to some more shit to have us to talk about.
Right. Y'all just talking
and
about everything. Like, we actually, like, play off of it.
Mm.
You know, this whole group was built off dysfunction.
Mm. Who's in the group?
Ray J, myself, Valentino, and Pleasure P. Mm.
Oh, that's hard.
You know what I'm saying? RSVP.
When y'all dropping?
We drop a single next month. It's called Money Everywhere. We've been working with Hitmaker, Troy Taylor. We just did some shit with Jazz Prince, Tone Stiff. Like, we got some records. That's the funny part. Like, we didn't ask for this. You feel me? Versus did it. And every time we get on live and every time we troll shit, it's on the Shade Room. Like, we not doing nothing but being ourselves. We are crazy and wild. Like, me falling out of SUV equates to me and Ray J getting an altercation because he said so.
Yeah.
No footage. You know what I'm saying? If we got in a fight at Pink Pony, y'all, somebody gonna capture something.
Right, family caught it on camera.
Yeah, nah, Ray J, my brother. I love him. I'll never put my hands on Ray J. I'll never put my hands on P. I'll never put my hands on Bob. Like, I'm a real king, man. I don't move like that. I got too much invested into other things where I'm gonna conduct myself in a violent manner. You know, I got security for that. I got uncles that'll do time for that. You know what I'm saying? So it's never a time where, unless a nigga literally hook on me, then I'm going for blood. But nah, me and Ray J never touch each other in a violent manner.
Clarity on Big Facts.
Yeah.
Hey,
all love.
How was it with the women growing up? Did you ever lock in a relationship? What?
Yeah, I'm actually a relationship kind of guy, but them shits just don't work.
Why?
Them shits.
I've been in like 3-4 serious relationships in my life. One was 4.5 years. That was my fault. I ain't understand the idea of being monogamous. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have even been in a relationship at that time. And then one was maybe my karma. You know what I'm saying? And I just got out of a breakup in January, relationship in January. But it was her. She cheated. It wasn't me.
So do you think that your
my
bad
profession,
luck with relationships has to do with the fact that you are a well-known R&B singer, and most of the time that well-known R&B singers are simultaneously considered ladies' men?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my job is to please the ladies. You know what I'm saying? Everything that I am is because of a woman. You feel me? Everything. Like, yeah, I got some male fans, but I'm probably 85-90% of women. So that's a conflict of interest when you got to give all of yourself, especially now with social media, right? They want to know what you drink, what you smoke, what you wear, what you don't. You know what I'm saying?
How you do it.
Yeah, they want to know everything. Kind
of stuff, what you think it'll take for you to have a successful relationship?
A woman that's going willing to adjust to me, you know what I'm saying? And me not trying to adjust to her.
Yeah.
Music will never be secondary to nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's after the music. But when I say that, because music is my livelihood. It's how I sleep at night. It's how I take care of my mom, my pops, my siblings. So I'm always got to unapologetically be my full self, right? We could have a date Friday planned. But if I got to go to New York to handle some business, then guess what? That date going to have to go in the back burner because Sammy going to New York. And that's not negotiable, you know? So it's going to take a woman that understands who I am, understand the struggle. If you can understand my struggle, that's why I talk about the 7 years of struggle. Try to be famous for 7 years, right? Or try being famous for 7 years and you're not driving in a vehicle that the world think you should be able to drive in. There's a pressure that people try to keep up with the hype. Never me. I know how to be cool in the Nissan Rogue. You know why? Because I had one. Well, I ain't had one, but I've ridden in one from Enterprise. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool and whatever. But now I'm in a different place where I could buy a Rolly. I could buy me and my manager a little cool little chain. I could take trips and I got out the mud. Like,
right.
So why would I ever stop being myself? That can propel me to the next level I'm trying to get to. So she's just going to have to be strong, confident, overly communicate, have a lot of God in her, and understand it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What I'm doing is ultimately going to benefit my person, period. The house you want, the trip you want to take, the dinners you want to go on. If the world don't love Sammy, then how can I do that for you? You feel me?
What about kids? You had kids?
Nah, I'm ready, though. Mm-hmm. At least one. 35.
So you do want kids in that woman, though?
I do. That's the happy ending for me because I done did everything. All the girls, you name it, I done seen it, did it.
But how you shape that, knowing it is so easy for a nigga to goddamn just have whatever woman he want and just go get one.
Yeah, you got to have, man. I'm big on therapy, right? And I go to therapy like once a month, and boundaries is something I never just obeyed. Boundaries. Give you an example. I just was in Houston, Tycoon Weekend. A lingerie party turned to a stripper party. Now, I've never just been a strip club guy anyway. I ain't really, I'd rather go spend money on a girl I'm with and happy ending, you know what I'm saying, than just go to a strip club and blow thousands of dollars when I could have did something else with it. That's just always been me. But it was too much going on, you know what I'm saying, for me.
You know what I'm saying? So how you, therapy can't help them situations with something that's
in you. Nah, it can, because you understand that it's
in you.
You
got to address it.
There we go. A lot of times we can understand we have demons, right? Well, let me start this. First, we don't understand we have demons. First, you think you're not even addicted to anything.
Yeah.
Until you say, I'm not going to drink for a month. See, see if you can really go 30 days instead of on the fifth day. Well, I can have some wine. Pull the weed away for 2 months. See who controls who. Go abstinent for a month. See if you're going to fucking go crazy and have to watch porn OD every day.
You tried being monogamous. That shit ain't really working like that, though.
Nah, it's not, but... Well, it hasn't.
This shit ain't gonna work for no niggas.
You said it ain't gonna work for no niggas?
No, it'll work for some niggas, but I'm saying, like, just say Vincent, bro. Like he said, I went through 7 years of some shit by myself.
Right.
It's like, and I'm 35, how can I start to believe some shit that I never believed before?
You got a point.
I still remain not.
And you done been cheated on.
Yeah, for sure. Now,
how you gonna start, like, that's trauma.
That is trauma, for sure. That's why you have to go to therapy.
But when you go to therapy, therapy's still not going to allow you to tell you, okay, it's you.
You
when
have you to know make it, the decision, ultimately.
You have that's to what make the decision, but how hard is that decision?
It's everyday challenge. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, when I realized, you know what, the liquor and all these girls walking around, I don't want to let my demon out. You know what I'm saying? Let me slide. I just went to the hotel. And the best thing I could do, because niggas is getting knocked out. There's fights, all kind of crazy shit going on out there.
That.
So, you know what I'm saying? I stayed out the way. I survived Tycoon. The survived Tycoon was a whole thing. You know what I'm saying? it's just really about what you want, too. Let me say, like,
that's what I said.
I genuinely have done the whole 5, 10, 15, 20 girl roster, right? That's too many girls, too many emotions, too many different personalities. Like, it's hard to keep one happy. Mm-hmm. It just is. Mm-hmm. They're naturally emotional. They're naturally wired differently than men, right? Me, personally, I value peace more than anything in this planet. And I think I give off hubby vibes. So no girls really just want to just fuck me and slide.
Hit it and quit it.
Nah.
Yeah.
I'm the one. You know what I'm saying? Like off the first date. Like, I do. You know what I'm saying? That's just the vibes I give off.
Yeah.
I understand that because I do talk about God. You know what I'm saying? But I'm balanced. I knock a nigga out. I drink, but then I detox. I smoke sometimes, but I'm always be on point, keep the business right. So it's like, girls, they fall in love with me. So imagine having 10, 15 girls all thinking the same thing about you. You can't make them all happy. I'd rather put my energy into one if my spirit and my heart leads me to her. But I'm not going to force nothing. And I'm still not going to say it's going to be easy to just be with one girl. That's damn
near. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because when you put your energy into one, like when you put your energy into one,
yeah,
then that's when all the shit go to play back.
The bullshit.
Damn, when I tried this happened then.
No, for sure.
So maybe she might be on this same shit too.
No, yeah, the first little thing is gonna make you open some more shit up, bro.
It's gonna trigger you,
especially in Atlanta. Like, you in Atlanta, man, where you're gonna see your type all day long. That's just fucked up. Like, you gotta go to a different city, man, to be in these type of relationships.
You know what's crazy for
a nigga
me?
Do, bro. Now, this ain't relationship
crazy?
State.
You know what's crazy for me? I think it's definitely
not if you outside.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough state to date in, for sure. You know what I'm saying? But I behave more, you know, I'm more on deck in Atlanta than I am out of town. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause I'm not outside. Like, unless there's some money involved. It's four spots I go to in Atlanta religiously, and none of them are popping like that. It's like ducked off spots where I'm drinking, I'm smoking hookah, and I'm back to the crib. I'm only out for the bread in the gym and the studio. Like, so I'm not in the mix.
They be in the gym too?
Yeah, do be in the gym. I had a few in the gym. I had to switch gyms. Got them, get out of there. Nah, you know, but it really boils down to what you want. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I'm not no longer forcing it. I think back then, man, I was such a lover boy, and really, I didn't have enough going on in my business life that I just wanted love. I got a candle line. I'm a franchise owner of a hookah lounge now. I got Sammy album, RSVP album. I'm going on my fifth tour in the last 6 years. Like, so I'm moving too. Mm-hmm. And I'm not stopping. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, I never just wanted to do music. I always wanted to be a mogul. You know what I'm saying? And a young boss and diversify my portfolio. So love isn't like a necessity. Love is a feeling. If I feel it, I'm going to give it a fair chance. You know what I'm saying? And if she, whomever shoots herself in the foot, I already dealt with that. Like, I already had my heart broken. It's cool. I'm going to flip that, make some amazing music, and make some M's off that, and thank you.
What's the main thing you think you love about being an entertainer?
For real, just being able to touch the people, man, and spread godliness. Like, everything, I'm the definition of, if you're a spiritual person, man, like the book of Job. Like, I had it all, and I lost it all, but I stayed faithful to God. I knew at some point he was going to bring me back. You know what I'm saying? And to be able to share my story and thousands or millions of people are willing to hear my story through the gift of song is like, that's a powerful thing. So really just to touch and change lives, man. Because I've traveled, I've seen all the countries, I've seen United States a million times. That's a blessing. But I guess really to be able to speak some positivity and peace and light and love into the world just because I'm Sammy, and they'll listen just because I'm Sammy. That's like the most amazing part. And I think that at the end of the day, I believe in life after death. Gotta be pleased that's my mission. It's not about me, it's about him.
It's hard.
That's solid.
Yeah, for sure.
When you see all the debates online, people saying R&B is dead or who killed R&B and so forth and so forth, what's your take on that?
I'm not as emotionally invested because I always think from a like marketing standpoint, mine. Mm-hmm. So Diddy said that right when he launched Love Records with Motown, right? Mm-hmm. Which is an R&B driven label. And when he just released like what he feels is the record of the summer with Bryson, mm-hmm. that was just look at me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and listen to my record. That's all I got from that.
So you feel like it was some shit like all publicity is good publicity?
Yeah, it's just like I fall out the SUV and skin my face and Ray J say he beat me up. And then everyone's talking about it for a week. And then it's on to the next thing. Like,
it's on to the RSVP single.
Yeah, now we dropping a single in 2 weeks. Money everywhere, get that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it, to me, I don't think, come on. Diddy was a mentor of Usher Raymond, who was still the king of R&B, right? Mm. And if we want to make it uncomfortable, the king of R&B before Usher is locked up in prison. R. Kelly.
Facts.
All right, so Usher is still creating. Tank is still creating. Like I said, Lucky Day is there. Giveon is giving out R&B vibes. Mm-hmm. Come on, like, it's a plethora. It's just not mainstream.
He's saying, like, yeah, popularized.
It's just, well, but,
like how R&B used to be.
And I'm glad he said that, though, because the person that can influence a shift in the culture is who? Diddy.
Right, of course. Sure.
Facts. Like, I'm glad he said it.
Yeah.
That's who we need to say it. Because if Diddy wants to bring back R&B to mainstream, guess what that radio going to do?
He's going
to
bring it back.
Goddamn start playing R&B music mainstream again. So, like, right, Diddy is, I love Diddy. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of the GOATs. A living icon, literally. Mm-hmm. So if anybody can start the conversation and shake the room and shake the table, it's him. So I'm glad he's taking this, like,
initiative
to bring love back. I love it. Like, I love it. Like, so I didn't feel no kind of way because I'm like, it's marketing, from a marketing standpoint, it's genius. But also, he has the voice. It's going to take a Diddy to really let these DJs know, man, hey, man, make it sexy in here and play some R&B. Mm. Hey, radio, bring some love back to the world. Like, everybody's shooting and killing because that's all we get to hear every day. Mm. That's all you consuming.
Facts.
That's it. These little kids, these 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that's shooting, what are they listening to? That. Ain't no love. Ain't no, you know what I'm saying? When I grew up, Sammy worked as a kid because there was such thing as puppy love. These little kids ain't playing outside. When the last time you seen kids just riding bikes and they got to get home when the lights come on, right? The street lights. I live in a nice neighborhood with kids, and I don't never see the kids except when they get off the school bus. I like see them go inside, and I never see them again. We used to be out there hooping and playing football and drinking water out the water holes on the side of the house just so we don't go back in the house until
run around in people's yard and shit.
Right. Doing something. Yeah. Still, you know what I'm saying? Stealing mangoes at the mango tree or some shit. Like, we not doing that. They going home on this phone, on these iPads, and they're becoming robots. And the things that they are seeing and they have access to is a lot of violence, a lot of sex, a lot of killing, a lot of shooting, and that's all on the radio. So, if you want to bring some love back, Diddy is the person that can definitely get it going. Mm. And then it's up for us, you know, to create it and convey it and live in it.
Facts.
Yeah. Mm. They say they need Elsa's. About what? When I get
big fat. Big fat, big fat. On your like, two-decade-plus journey of making music, have you ever desired, especially when you kind of get in your other mode, to rap or be a rapper?
Nah.
You ain't never start fucking around and say, you know what?
I mean, man, I've done some like mixtapes. I think like 2009, 2010, I was mixtapes crazy. So it's some rap, not songs, but like some implements of rap in the music. But nah, man, I'm just a Florida boy. Like my lion, my beast is just, I was raised that way. I'm not scared of shit because I've seen it. Like, I was raised in Liberty City for some time. Like, they were on First 48 all the time. You know what I'm saying? Hearing gunshots and we didn't have just roaches. We had rats. I know how to lay down a little trap for that. Like, so that side of me is just that side of me because that's just what I grew up in. Mm. But I knew early I could sing my way out of that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So I'm not about to start at 35, man, and I live a peaceful life in the suburbs of Atlanta, rapping the track. And I don't like, you got to be careful what you put out there energy-wise. Mm. You want to be a tough guy? Cool. Yeah, then somebody's going to try to punch you and knock you out or take your chain. Me, I be by myself in the A all the time, jewels on, money in my pocket. And I'm saying this knowing it's going to come out. Not saying I'm welcoming energy to be fucked with, but I show everybody love. You feel me? Mm. Man, woman, child. I'm gay, straight. I don't care. Love is love. So I put out the energy that I want to receive. That's why I'm not in no fights. It's why I'm not getting robbed. It's why it's like if somebody fucked with me, that nigga was just down super bad and just wanted to fuck with me. Because I have nothing but love for everybody. Mm. Mid-robbery, I'd be like, nigga, hop in the whip. Let's talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
nigga don't want to hear that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, of course. But that, no, of course. They want to change. You know what I'm saying? But my spirit is like, let me really help change your life type shit.
Matter of fact, nigga, I hop in the car.
Yeah.
You go somewhere and talk about it, nigga.
Right? Yeah, but nah, what I'm saying is I don't have no aspirations to be no rapper, man. I'm singing and I'm a businessman. That's it. Mm. I'm cool. I stay in my lane. I like it here.
Do you still feel like, you know, Do you still feel like you can maybe make a record bigger than I Like? You might feel like you made better ones, but do you feel like you might make a record bigger than that at this point?
I mean, don't get no bigger than number one, but can I make another number one for sure? Mm. Yeah, that's easy. It's just I understand what comes with making a hit record. It's not the record just solely by itself.
Mm.
It's the machine behind it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like just a hit record. If the label don't press the Sammy button on that record, I don't care if you got Drake on it. If they don't... Mm-hmm. Champion it, and then put some millions up, then nah, it's just gonna be a cool song with Drake on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But can I create another number one? Yeah. The easiest thing in my life is creating music, good music, great music. And every record won't be a number one. Some will be anthem, some will be a spiritual connection, some will be a sex song. But at the end of the day, I cannot create bad music because I've dedicated my whole life to that craft. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the one thing I can't fail at. So yeah, can I create some more number ones for self? Absolutely. And now that I'm with the gang, RSVP, for sure. It's just a matter of the machine getting behind and doing what they supposed to do. It takes a village, you know what I'm saying? It's not about just the artist doing his part. It takes everybody from top to bottom.
You think y'all assign RSVP to Amazing?
Right now, we bosses enough. We all got enough money by ourselves individually to do what we do. I mean, we've gotten some office. It's so funny because no one's even really heard the music. You know what I'm saying? They just this group shit is no pressure. It's fun because they expecting it to fail. For real, I think they just want to watch it crumble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to watch it because it's entertaining. They want to watch it because Sammy and Ray J always like bickering and Pleasure P's crazy and Bob just be chilling and happy to be here. Like, it's an interesting concoction of guys to put together. But we gonna get the ball rolling on our own. That way, if we ever partner, ain't signing to nobody, but if we ever partner, you know, it can't come with no peanuts. We all individually have success. We all cool. We all torn. We all got, Ray J's a mogul. He's straight. You know what I'm saying? Sammy's straight. P straight. Bob straight. So it just have to make a lot of sense. That's all. A lot of sense.
On the gram, you had said 5 more years and you hanging up the music and you retiring. Was you trolling or that was real?
Nah, that's my spirit. You know, they say we make plans and God laughs, but... yeah, for sure. I always want, but that was always the plan.
When you say done with music, not done creating it, because you said you have to create.
I will always create, because if I don't create, then I feel like, I saw Andre 3000 say something like, he don't feel good. Like, I damn near feel sick if I'm out the studio too long, or if I'm off the stage too long. Me too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's just what creatives feel. But not in the front. I've been through so many things and so many different eras of this music thing now. I could get an artist and guide him or her the right way. I'm always write music because my pen is everlasting. You know what I'm saying? But I just don't want to have to tour. You know, when people, it's a difference from when you do music to survive and you do it just because you love to do it. Even right now, I'm just doing music because I love to do it. So I want to love it at least for 5 more years and ride off into the sunset. I have a vision that, you know, a lot of people don't get to retire music. The industry retired them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The world don't care no more. Or a scandal happened, you know what I'm saying? And it's just something where niggas just don't get to say bye to the game the right way. You know what I'm saying? Who would have thought R. Kelly's career would end like that? Or, you know, a rumor took this person out. Like, I'm one of the, as far as my brand is concerned, y'all ain't never see Sammy in nothing.
Least problematic.
Yeah, that's why the RSVP thing is so funny, because y'all get to see, like, I'm finally once talked in some controversy. But even if it's not true, it's like a big thing. Like, I never had to get on Instagram and be like, hey, y'all.
Clear up anything.
I was drunk last night, nigga fell, skimped my face, broke my phone, lost my AirPods, that's it.
But and it's, no nigga touched me.
Yeah, but I also don't play about myself, so let's be clear that if somebody fight me, y'all, I have a terrible attitude. Like, I will fight this nigga every time I see him.
Get this point across.
You know what I'm saying?
That he will fight.
Yeah, like.
But you don't
want to
fight.
I don't want to, but I have no problem.
You said it in the most monotone voice, but
you know what I'm saying?
Right. Let's be clear now. Let's be clear, guys.
I'm just that. You got to watch, though.
Yeah, I'm just, that's why I don't be wanting no problem. Like, it's the peaceful niggas that's the niggas with the shit.
Yeah.
Because you fucking up the peace.
Yeah.
So now I got to fuck you up every time I see you. You know what I'm saying? So nah, 5 years, man. I just want to. I did everything I wanted to do in music. like, I got my flowers on the Millennium Tour. I took my respect on Versus. I never even thought God is so good. I'm so humble. I couldn't have done a Versus if it was built strictly on going head up against somebody.
Right.
Because Sammy personally has 7 to 8 commercial hits. I don't have 20. Mm-hmm. I've been independent since 2009. You know what I'm saying? 7 of those years of my career, grinding, getting back to where I'm at. So, like,
right.
I don't have the consistency that Chris has had. One label, just pushing him since he was 16 to be however old he is. Trey Songz, one label, Atlantic. You know what I'm saying? No, Sammy done went through management changes, label changes, and said, fuck everybody. I'm going to learn this shit on my own. So my path was different, but God is good. They created a whole format where, oh, me and P? Oh, we can kill Bob and Ray.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. that was picture perfect for me. So it's like, only thing I think I aspire to do is bring home a Grammy. And we know that's a little political. So
super political.
Right. So I've done everything. I got number ones. I got top tens. I've toured. I love music. I've seen the world. No scandals.
So after when you hit 40, what you gonna do?
I'm already doing what I'm gonna do. You know what I'm saying? I'm 2 years in the candle business. We got Simply Naked Candle Co. I got a candle shop in Conyers, Georgia. Shout out to Shantae Smith. You like candles? I saw you look. Yeah, I'm gonna get you some candles. I get y'all a care package. You know what I'm saying? I got into the candle business 2 years ago. So you can go to Simply Naked Candle Co. and order your Sammy collection candles from there. That's residual income every month that I get. I can't name the franchise yet because we haven't announced it, but me and 3 other business partners, we own a hookah lounge. We're about to open up on the south side. You know what I'm saying? It's already a franchise. I've invested back into that in December. I done put a few bands into a stock that I ain't gonna touch for 5 years, and we'll see what that do. You know what I mean? And shit.
I got my entertainment game, not music, like TV.
Yeah, I want to get into acting for sure. Yeah, like I want to. I did a pilot like 2 years ago. And I had like 2 weeks to learn like 36 pages or some shit. And it was actually like amazing. Shot it out in LA. So that's like my next pivot from the entertainment side.
What type of acting you see yourself doing?
I want to be able to do everything though. I don't want to just be diverse, one dimensional. You know what I'm saying? Can I be a thug from anywhere? For sure. I'm tatted. Locks.
I see you in horror movies.
And all that.
She said horror movies.
Would you do love and hip hop?
I said no to them 4 times already. But I do have, I will say, I actually can't say that. We were revisiting. I personally don't want to do it, like, cause I don't have to do it.
Why? Oh, you feel like people who do it have to do it?
No, it ain't no shade to. I don't even watch.
I'm
it.
Asking. You know, me neither. I don't watch. Yeah, either, I don't but watch I just it. Know shit. Niggas,
so
niggas
what?
Piped up, turned up on that shit though.
Yeah, right? Some people pipe up and some people deflate
pipe
themselves.
Pipe
you feel
out.
Me?
Yeah.
And I'm big on controlling my narrative. That's what I'm saying. When you say something or do something. They can spin it. I don't like people spinning shit.
What about a documentary?
We could do a doc. Like, if I did Love and Hip Hop, it was strictly whatever, and they're not going to want this because it's boring. Strictly about what I got going on in my business. You know what I'm saying? Not about who I'm dating and sexing. Like, I keep that.
What about behind the music?
Yeah, it just has to be about the music. Like, okay. I'm not the
guy. Yeah, they ain't gonna want that. They want.
I'm not giving it. I don't got nothing to give it. You know, I don't got nothing to give to them. Like, I live a peaceful life. I don't know drama in my life. You know what I'm saying? I really don't. Like, I don't. So.
Well, that counts you out.
Yeah, they called me twice for Atlanta, twice for LA. I said no thanks. And that was before the music started back popping. You know what I'm saying? That was another thing. I didn't want to be like popping because I'm sexing this girl, you know what I'm saying, or disrespecting this girl, or I cheated on this girl. Like, nah, that's the wrong shit. Like, I'm dope enough to be popping without the shenanigans. I like to just be, you know, ethically, morally in pocket. And that's what people like about me, opposed to he always losing his mind and going crazy, and that's what we know him for.
Is there a woman in your life you wish you could get back?
Nah. It's not.
That nigga just being right. Denied. Like, nah.
Yeah,
nah,
but it's not. I want to fix that energy, though. It's no bad blood with none of my exes. Like, I was blessed to have 3-4 amazing women in my life that I fell for at some point in time.
Yeah.
I'm just the kind of dude where once it serves its purpose, it served its purpose. I don't hold on to nothing that's bringing me down. Like, I learned that the key to elevation is knowing when to let go. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to marry my ex-girlfriend. Got permission from her mom to propose. Got permission from her twin brother to propose. Was talking to the jeweler about the ring and knowing how I'm about to do it. I ain't never had the balls to even ever get to that level, right? So when we broke up, I thought that it was the worst shit, you know what I'm saying? And then life just started being amazing. That's when another, I just got off the Millennium Tour October, November of last year. Went on another tour March through April for 40 days with Eric Bellinger. Thinking I'm chilling, Versus happened. Thinking I'm chilling, Millennium Tour turned up, about to start October through November. RSVP happened. The money's coming in left and right, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just at peace. And I'm not doing nothing. I ain't put out a project in 2 years. I'm just chilling. I'm making money off of nostalgia and the history of Sammy. And I believe, not saying she was holding me back, but if she was a person, nah, if think about it. If she was a person that was supposed to go with me, then she wouldn't be without.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, think we'd be holding on to relationships and homeboys
you're right.
Niggas you grew up with for 10, 15
so
years. Think,
so that's a clear example of God holding your blessing to the
until you right let go. Because the thing is, you've been knowing that this person and this individual, and it's not just relationships. It could be your homie. It could be your business partner. Yeah. You know, you've thought internally, like, man, this nigga just won't get right, and I'm trying to take him with me. That's your problem.
Yeah.
That's what your plan is. You trying to take him. Yeah. God is trying to say, let go.
Yeah.
But we want it our way. We want to be at the top with our people, right? Yeah. We don't want people to look at us funny and say he not with none of his day ones. I've learned this. A lot of my circle are not the niggas that I was around 2009 when I lost everything.
Mm. Yeah.
They did something along the way that they cut themselves out or I had to let them go. And I have no problem letting go anybody that don't serve me. You know what I'm saying? You're not about to stop me. Like, Sammy has a vision for himself that no man, no woman, not my mama, not my daddy, not my brother, not my sister, and them the ones I love the most. If I can reposition them some kind of way, if they trying to pull me back or stop me, I could definitely cut off a girl. So I think every ex that I had served her purpose. Mm. Some for the better, some for the worse. You know what I'm saying? But it's no love lost. It's like that was the journey. And the journey is the destination. So you got to let go if you want to go.
Yeah, but I think sometimes, like, speaking about letting go and all that kind of shit when it comes to relationships, friendships, and all of that, I think sometimes it's kind of hard for people to let go because when you're so loyal to a situation.
They say you could be loyal to a fault.
Yeah, you're loyal to a fault. And then when you even, the thought of even, like, letting go this situation that you feel like you have to be loyal to kind of brings on an internal guilt, sort of.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know you got to do this, but it's like, damn, like, is this what I'm really supposed to be doing, like, type shit. Like,
yeah, but you don't know until hindsight. You know they say hindsight is 20/20, right? So if you just stay.
It's like post-nut clarity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You come to your senses, right? In most cases.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
so,
for sure.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, holding on to something and staying stagnant in that same situation and expecting a different outcome is called insanity, right? Doing the same
facts.
Shit, expecting a different result.
Facts.
Let go. Let God. Let him do his thing. So I personally don't want any of my exes back. One of them is engaged. I'm happy for her. One just I think is in a relationship. And the last one, I haven't seen her since we broke up. Don't know what she doing. Don't know where she at. God bless
whatever
her.
Whatever it is, you wish the best for her.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. My karma clean. Listen, God bless you. Like, seriously, like, I live a great life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I live a great life. Like, I'ma always keep going. I'm gonna be straight with you or without you. It's just I want to take somebody with me.
Besides, that deserves to be there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Besides the grammar, what's some shit you feel like you didn't get a chance to do in your career, like, that you really want to do?
It's just certain people I really respect and want to collab with. And I know if I was in the major situations at the time, you know what I'm saying, we would be able to make those plays happen, you know? Yeah. I got a record with 2 Chainz, but that was like a play that a homie kind of put together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Chainz. I just love his character. He always show me love when he see me. You know what I'm
Tony.
Saying? So, yeah, Tony. That's the homie. That is really who I could been able to create magic with.
Yeah.
On a collab type shit. But I've also, in the same sentence, have worked with the Rick Rosses and the Lil Babies and the T-Pains and shit like that. So, like, you know, it's just a few more people that I think, if I played the game, you know what I'm saying? Like, from a major standpoint,
yeah,
I wouldn't have to go through so much red tape to get certain shit done.
For sure.
Yeah.
You still communicate with Soulja Boy?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You know, Draco was actually on a tour last year for the Millennium joint, so we rocked out every night. Yeah, it's me and Soulja cool.
we always got love, you know. Him letting me on that record changed my life too, because like I said, it was during a time where I really needed something, you know what I mean? So it was the equivalent of living like check to check, but it was show to show, but it didn't allow me to drown, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to Draco for, that's crazy how God works. So I wasn't even, that wasn't planned. I was going to a DJ Khaled Ace Hood video shoot at the time, and Soulja was there and was like, yo, I got this song, I sound like shit on the hook, man, come knock it out. And honestly, I needed something, but I didn't think that was it, because I just never saw me and Soulja doing a song together, you know? Mm-hmm. And then finally, I come to the studio, knock it out, and it was the last song that he was there for his album. And he was like, we're about to drop this one second with Sean Kingston, and then maybe drop this one. They leaked it, went crazy on YouTube. You know, he is Mr. Internet for real. Mm-hmm. Changed our lives, you know? So, yeah, I got love for Draco all the time. Anybody that ever fucked with me when I wasn't popping again, you know what I'm saying? I always will have the utmost respect and adoration for, you know? And Draco is one of those guys, for sure.
For sure, man. Appreciate you pulling up the big facts, man, giving us the facts, giving us some, you know what I'm saying?
Appreciate you.
Some motivation.
You too.
Y'all check us out, www.bigfactspod.com. Salute.
Yes, sir.
For the streets.
Exactly.
It's Big Facts.
No cap.
Bitch.